must almost be a relief for hockey fans in Minneapolis. Norm Green is moving the Minnesota North Stars to Dallas.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs! What you
wanna say? Club in fair territory and then lands fair. Wow.
So a huge break for the Yankees. Joe Mauer should be at second base.
With the sixth pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from
Yards left hash. Snap good. Spot down. Wolch's kick is up. And it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that.
But it did.
Hey, everybody. Yes, it did. It ended just like that.
We're not talking about screaming. Any particular season either. It just did.
Anytime the team's good, it'll end like that, right? Right?
Yeah, you are correct.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Misery Loves Company. We're on episode 8. For the purposes of this show, I'm JP McGillicuddy. Sitting right next to me, you know him. You love him. Mike, 667 Colosimo. What's up, Mike?
Not too much. I don't know if you love me, but we'll commiserate together, you Vikings and Minnesota sports fans. Good to see you there, JP.
Yeah. You want to tell the folks what we're talking about this week?
Do I ever. This is the most painful game of any sports team, of any part of my life. The 1998 15-1 Minnesota Vikings loss to the Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons.
This was some of Lucy's best work, was it not?
It was indeed. And this one hurts personally because I thought for sure this is our year, but also professionally, and we'll get into that. But
yes.
Yeah.
You got a story coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to tell you, as I found a article, it was a oral history where they got a bunch of the players, not Randy, unfortunately, but a lot of players to just kind of tell the story of that season. Very efficient research because that's pretty much the only source I used. But I got to tell you, by the end of the story, I was sad because it was just, I mean, insert like Kevin Costner movie, you know what I mean? With the Randall Cunningham of it all, the rookie. I mean, it was a Hollywood script. And unfortunately for Minnesota and their fans, It didn't have a happy ending for Minnesota.
It did not. And, you know, who knows what would have happened because the Dirty Birds eventually played John Elway and the Denver Broncos. And I think that was their second Super Bowl in a row, if memory serves. But anyway.
Elway retired
right after that, which should have been us. We were a far better team than Atlanta.
No fucking question about that.
Nope. You said it well, Jerry. Yeah.
Burnsy. Miss Burnsy. Yeah. Burnsy's out at this point. Before we get into the football of it all, why don't we see what's going on at the end of the 20th century, 1998. What were you doing, Mike? What's up?
I had 3 children at that point.
My youngest, you're just pumping them out.
You know, that's the best part of having kids, is making them. Kidding, kids. If you do listen, I don't know if they do or not. But my youngest son, Vincenzo, was born in May of 97. So he's about a year old at this point. I was running a company called International Catering, Inc., International Market Square. And for you Minnesotans, you'll know exactly where that is because we used to host the largest New Year's Eve party, the largest Halloween party, and several events, probably a lot of your weddings, a lot of your proms. And I was the VP of operations there at IMS.
You get many quinceañeras?
I don't know what that is. Sounds Hispanic and
it's like
sexual orientation.
Yeah, I guess that's a California thing. It's like a, it's like analogous to like a bar mitzvah. It's like becoming a It's like Mexican. I think it's Mexican. It might be other Spanish speaking countries. Anyway, sounds like you did.
If there is like a Swedish version of that, we got them.
Right.
Sven and Oli were there.
Swedish. Did you serve Swedish fish?
On occasion, some of our breakout events we did.
All right, well, let's see what's going on in this country and around the world in 1998. There's some big stories here. Let's not bury the lead. 1998, the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Oh.
And the subsequent impeachment of Slick Willie.
Really? That was 98?
Yeah.
I did not know that. My goodness, time flies. I just remember the blue dress and the cigar scenario and the other good happy stuff.
What did Bill say? I don't do a lot of impressions, but I'll do my Bill Clinton. Do you remember what they said he said when he grabbed the cigar after it was in a place where you usually don't put cigars?
I do not, no.
It tastes good.
Oh, my.
That wasn't very good. Tastes good. God damn it. Monica, let's go to Taco Bell.
Oh, my. Yeah, that was 98. That's shocking, but because that was the end of his second term, right?
Yeah, they got him right at the end. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. What else is going on? The movie Titanic. Have you heard of this picture?
I have.
Yeah. Highest grossing film of all time.
Then or now?
Then.
And now.
Don't know. I think, you know what? What's the director's name again? What is his name? He did Alien. Anyway, he broke it with that movie with all the blue.
Avatar?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking
Cameron.
That.
Big Jim.
Jim Cameron?
Big Jim Cameron, yeah.
Okay. I have not seen Avatar.
Have you ever gone to a front of a boat and let your hands splay out and say, I'm the captain of the world or something like that?
I'm on top of the world?
Yeah, I'm on top of the world.
I think it's I'm on top of the world. No, I have not. I've only been on one cruise ship, and I opted out of that. So, no, I did not.
Okay. Should try it.
I'll keep that in mind. We win the Super Bowl, and I will do it.
Oh, we'll get that on film. I'm going to hold you to that. I'll do it, too, if you want.
All right. I'll hold you.
Nude.
Okay. I will
or
not
painted
hold
purple
you.
Or something. That's not enough. We need to do something crazy. All if we're not going to flip over a car on, Hennepin, then let's rent a boat.
There's a fine line between crazy and stupidity. So we'll just do something crazy.
I don't know where that line is, so we'll figure it out. All right. A little company, maybe you've heard of them, called Google. They do, in fact, own the world. Are you all right? Cough button. We need a cough button. Oh, well. You heard of them? Google?
Google, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I Googled
it. They launched, world domination, T-minus what? As 98, T-minus 27 years, they will be owning the world. I say that because with my business, I always ask people how you heard of me. Google. And it's like 98% Google.
Yeah.
They just own the world.
It could have been a different search engine, but that has become the term.
Right.
Like Band-Aid. There are other bandages out
right.
there. Yeah.
You can ask Jeeves if you want to. Yahoo it.
Jeeves.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. At the age of 77, John Glenn returned to space aboard the space shuttle Discovery. Participating in a NASA study.
Thought of that. At my age, I'm tired just hearing that. But
I think it's Buzz, but he's a candidate to be my biological.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't know. All right. Sign of things to come. A lot of sign of things to come in 98. It was like it was really tipping the hand of the future. Embassies in Kenya and Tanzania were bombed by Al-Qaeda.
Mm.
And I say that just because, it's sort of interesting. And, of course, we're probably not going to talk about 2011 or 2001, 9/11. But I'll never forget I was in a poli-sci class in my first half-hearted attempt at college. And the part I was paying attention to, the professor said, this is before 2001. He said, this is Osama bin Laden. He'll do a terrorist attack in your life. There's no doubt about it. And I thought that was sort of bold. How do you know? And then lo and behold.
Sure enough.
The Yanks swept the Padres. They won the World Series.
That was 98?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I was in D.C. for a convention And I remember that I was sitting at a bar watching one of the games, and they were just getting their rear ends kicked. But okay, yeah, yep. Makes sense.
And film, pretty good year.
Okay,
number 10. Number 10, Good Will Hunting.
Oh, love that movie. Yes.
Do you like apples?
Yeah. What do you think of these apples?
I got a number.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like is when they made a run at some of these Italian guys and called them Dagos or something like that. But
racist.
I'm over it now.
Fucking crackers. Number 9, Rush Hour. Not my cup of tea, but no. People like it. Godzilla, I prefer the originals. Deep Impact. Remember that one?
It sounds familiar, but no, I don't think.
It was one of the Asteroid movies that came out this year.
Okay.
Do you remember Armageddon, which is number 2? I'll jump ahead.
Love Armageddon.
Well, Deep Impact's the same plot.
Okay.
It came out the same year. You don't remember that?
Who's in Deep
Impact? Taya Leone.
Okay.
I forget who else.
She's kind of cute.
Yeah, she's cute. I think she was married to Duchovny for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 6, Dr. Doolittle. Eddie Murphy, when he decided to stop being funny.
Yeah.
At least two adults.
Kids will do that. I think he had some kids and tried to clean up his act. And,
yeah. Yeah.
So he went through that stint, daddy daycare and all the.
Yeah, and then he picked up that transsexual, too. So
well, that might. What else did he pick up when he.
Yeah, I don't know. What was that? Number 6, number 5, The Water Boy.
Loved it.
Okay.
Still There's watch it.
Something About Mary.
Loved it.
That's number 4.
Wow, what a here's great a, year.
Here's a movie I saw in the theaters that kind of, I think it did this to everyone. I have a whole new respect for the guys that stormed the beaches at Normandy. Of course, I'm talking about Saving
Private Ryan.
Yeah.
And you're not talking about the porno version. Saving Ryan's privates.
Oh man, I feel like we're sharing a brain here. That's where I was going next.
Are you serious? I was kidding.
Because it's one of the funnier porn names ever.
Is it really? I was
kidding. Saving Ryan's privates.
I was kidding. Oh my gosh, I've been hitting the head a lot, as you know, and that was just my warp sense.
Well, it's
of
producing
humor.
Comedy today.
Wow.
Number 2, the aforementioned Armageddon. Number 1, the aforementioned. Titanic.
I mean, what a great year. Titanic,
I know. They don't make them like they used to, truly.
They don't, but a lot of things have shifted,
Why
too.
Why am I singing? Know. Sorry. Yeah. You guys, I'm in a mood. I don't know if you can tell.
He is.
It's actually good for my unmedicated ADD. It makes me less choppy. Like, a little anger behind your sentences and your thought process is a good thing.
Yeah. Anger's not bad if used correctly.
Right. Or if you punch it. Like a steel
inanimate object,
an alloy door. That's not the way to use it.
You know, inanimate objects are undefeated. Just so you know, I tell my kids that when they decide to punch a wall.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. You first, we're going to have you pay for that. And then you're going to realize that you lost because the inanimate object, say that 3 times fast, has no feelings. Anyway.
Yeah. It can,
we're digressing.
Yeah. They can, No glass jaws on inanimate objects.
Correct.
All right. Records? Music? 1998? What do we got going on?
Can I guess? There's going to be a little Def Leppard in there.
No.
No?
Good get. There, no.
How about
89 or 98?
98. Isn't Def Leppard around then?
You need to go over your Gazintas. That's like a decade earlier, is it not?
I couldn't tell.
All right, let's go through the list.
Okay.
Gar Brooks.
Okay.
I call him Gar.
All right.
Double Live record. You buy that one?
Oh, no.
No, good. The Awful Spring. The Offspring. Americana.
Ah, yeah. I like The Offspring, but
do you?
I can tell you do not.
No, they got in a beef with our house band Face to Face that does our intro.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm team Face to Face, so.
Yeah.
And they fired my friend Pete Parada for not getting. He actually had a medical problem where he couldn't get immunized. What am I? Aaron Rodgers, if he didn't get vaccinated, and they kicked him out of the band unceremoniously.
Vaccinated during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty lame.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Rock, Devil Without a Cause.
Mm, love Kid Rock.
Mariah Carey, number ones.
She has some qualities I enjoy.
Yeah. She's got a nice voice.
Yeah,
What qualities are you speaking
of? Let's move on.
Okay.
Kids might be listening.
Yeah. U2.
U2.
1980 to 1990.
Did you hear about Bono and Edge walking into a bar and the bartender said, U2 again?
All right, so. Hey-o!
I apologize.
Dixie Chicks. Now they're just called the Chicks. Wide Open Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nope. Madonna. Ray of Light. I like Madonna's early stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Nope.
Brandy. Remember her?
I do.
I think she dated. I think she dated Kobe Bryant. Anyway, Never Say Never.
Okay.
I do like this artist, Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill. Nope.
Miss that. Remember the Fugees? One Time.
Does not even ring a bell.
I'm going to sound like an asshole. You don't remember that song? All right, I'll play it for you after the show. You'll remember it. The Fugees. You don't remember that?
Fugees. No, no. I went through this time warp, man, for about 20 years. Like, I wouldn't listen to anything new.
But Def Leppard.
Well, no, I'm not a Def Leppard fan. I've seen him in concert like five times. Same sound, same playlist. In the exact same order, but it's usually my ex would go, because she was a huge Def Leppard fan, so I'd have to go be that disgruntled husband, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'd go. One time, REO opened for them.
REO Speedwagon.
Oh, my gosh. Phenomenal. They were like 68 years old, and they rocked so much better than Def Leppard, but you don't hear those.
Blew them off the stage?
They did, in my opinion. And you don't hear this. They're deep, like, rock and roll tracks. All you hear is the bubblegum crap that they play on the radio.
Right.
Anyway.
For the number one record, I'd like to ask you a question.
Do you believe in life after love?
The answer is no. and Cher.
Yep.
Final answer.
Yep, you got it. what can I say about Cher that we didn't say last week?
Well, you're too old for her to date. I know that.
Now I am. Yeah.
I certainly am.
Yeah. If you listen to that record and you're wondering why she sounds like a robot, that's the most, that's something called pitch control or auto tune and, on Pro Tools. And like, that's very little to do with her voice. It's a robot. It's anyway, they have this pitch control thing. It's
kind is of, that when it all began?
Yeah, yeah. That stuff came out around then. And then you hear it all the time in rap. Blink-182 took it on the road with them cause they can't really sing. It's a little cheat code.
Hmm.
All right, let's get pumped up for football.
Oh, here we go.
All right, NFL. Unexpected great season for the Vikings. Around the league, there was some great seasons, some really terrific seasons, actually. Favre, how do you pronounce that? Speaking of something about Mary, had the most passing yards, 42-12. So the, and to be fair, we've gone from 14 to 16 games, so of course it's going to be a little higher, but it's a passing league at this point. That said, there's always exceptions to the rules. Terrell Davis, 2008 yards, MVP of the league. I think he had 23 touchdowns. Fantasy bonanza, all-time great. Yeah, the mile high salute Mike mile just did.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of a shorter career, but yeah.
Migraines, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Now that you say something. You want to stack Brett Favre? Antonio Freeman. Remember that dude? Led the league in receiving and yards.
Well, I do, and the reason I remember Antonio Freeman as well as I do is I was at a game at Lambeau. I went 9 years in a row, went to Lambeau, and it was in one of the nights where it was raining. Anyway, fast-forwarding, Chris Dishman was covering him in overtime on Monday night game, Monday night football. Chris Dishman fell down, one of the D-backs for the Vikes. The ball bounced off his back. Antonio Freeman caught it midair, ran in for a touchdown, game over. That is another.
Have a nice drive home.
Exactly. So, yes, I do remember.
Oh, boy. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
It really speaks to our podcast. That one play alone.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway.
I sense a theme.
Yeah. Yeah. 8 weeks into it.
I'm not exactly sharp, but I do sense a theme. All right. I made up a little game so we could introduce our dozens of listeners and our esteemed co-host here if he knows his Vikings in this year.
Uh-oh. This is all 98 based.
Yeah. This is all people on 98.
Okay.
Let's explain to the audience how we're going to play. We're calling it Trivia Golf, okay? I have four clues. If you get it on the first clue, that is a eagle, minus two. Second clue, minus one, that's a birdie. Third clue, par. Fourth clue, bogey. Guess with a wrong answer, add a stroke penalty. Ooh. Do we have that?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go with number one. I was a running back and I received a full ride to Iowa U.
Iowa U?
University of Iowa, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Hawkeyes.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off there.
Yeah, you did. Okay, a running back. Well, our lead running back was Robert Smith, but I know he went to Ohio State. Oh, back up.
It was. Why don't I have the Jeopardy music for next time?
Leroy Horde?
Do you want to make a guess or do you want a second clue?
I'll take a second clue, please.
Okay. Eagles head of the question, ladies and gentlemen. Mike now going for birdie. I led a boycott of spring practice for 16 players in protest of treatment of black people in Iowa City.
Oh, my goodness. Chester Taylor?
Is that your final answer?
No, I'm going to ask for another clue.
Okay. I'm a big proponent of the Bill Walsh West Coast offense. I'll give you one more because I don't want to see you go over par.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
This doesn't have to be a player. This is a team member.
Denny Green?
I need another sound effect. Yes, you got it right. Okay. And let's do this.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, and then the last one was going to be, I'm famous for stating the Chicago Bears were who we thought they were. And, of course, I have that clip. Let's enjoy it.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull?
Meltdown.
We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Danny.
But they are who we thought they
were. Hold on a second.
But we let them off the hook.
I love the reporter. Thanks, coach.
Yeah, what else she gonna say? Yeah, that's Denny. He was my second favorite coach. You know, I think
behind Bud.
I think KOC is gonna surpass him. But Denny
Burnsy's four then.
Yeah, Burnsy just for the soundbite.
Yeah,
reasons.
Yeah,
you know, obviously I question a lot of his old school play calling, but another story for another.
I was listening to some stuff. I think it was Jordan, the tight end. It's called him a genius, and I'm like, that's what happens when you like someone. You get confirmation. Anyway.
All right, so I'm even.
You're even. Let's go to player number two.
Okay. Should we say person number two, since it might be a, are these all the rest of these players?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I didn't do that on the first one, to be fair.
I should get a birdie just for the record. But.
No, I did not say player. And this would be too easy if I just started rattling off. It's got to be a little. You're par. It's okay. You got time to make
it. It's way better than my actual golf game, so I'll take it.
Yeah. Are you telling me you're not celebrating a par? Maybe not.
Normally,
this game.
Okay.
But in golf, yes. Yeah. I share a name with an extremely sad rock and roll lead singer.
Sad. This is for Eagle, right?
Mm.
Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll singer. I got to go birdie.
I ran track at OSU, and I was known as a speed demon, but I ran a relatively pedestrian 4.4740 time at the combine.
Oh, my. I'm going to say Robert Smith.
Minus one, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, thank you, audience.
Spent his entire career with the Vikings.
Yes.
So it was my third career.
Oh, okay.
And then my fourth was, this is impressive, actually. I finished my career with a 4.8 yard average per run. Good for 21st on the all-time list.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about Herschel, they mortgaged the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knew he was coming. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Dennis Green had a little bit more sophisticated attack or something.
He did.
Context matters.
Well, this year in particular, it was the most prolific offense in the history of the NFL.
Oh, there was room to run. They had things to worry about. We'll get into that.
Yeah. So who is the sad
Robert
lead singer?
Robert, well, you know his
Robert
name.
Robert Palmer?
No.
Robert.
He shares the name, Robert Smith. It's The Cure, lead singer. His name's Robert Smith.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. The first clue's got to be hard.
Yeah, it was.
All right, we're at minus one.
All right.
All right, for Eagle, my middle name is Gene.
Oh, my. Randy Gene Moss? No. Chris Gene Carter? No. Randall Gene Cunningham. I'm going to just take a shot. Randall Gene Cunningham. Oh, all right. You got to take some risks in life. You know?
Second clue.
Okay.
Add a stroke to the score. So birdie would be a par if you get on this. My name is a verb. My last name is a verb.
Verb.
Action word.
Action word. Yeah, I know. Thank you. I'm going to have to go next. I don't want to bore people with dead air. So
I signed in a letter. You should get it on this one. I signed a letter of intent to go to Notre Dame on a full ride. Lou Holtz said I was the best high school player he'd ever seen.
Okay. We had a pretty decent linebacker. His mind. He's now he's the analyst for PA.
But is his name a verb?
I can't even think of his name. That's what's killing me. The concussions are kicking in. Let's go to the next one. I'm just going to.
This is going to be a double bogey, and you're going to be one over.
I know.
All right. My 156 receiving touchdowns are number two all time. Jerry Rice is number one.
Oh, you're kidding.
Randall
yes.
Gene Moss. Yeah, and you got Moss just
I got
now,
Moss.
Didn't you?
Yeah, it's not an actual verb, but all right. Yeah, all right. That threw me off, the verb thing. No, it did not.
If you saw the document, I know that's funny, right?
Said it in the beginning, remember? I'm like, yeah, oh, you were right Randy there. Gene Moss? No, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that's why I picked it.
Yeah.
If you remember from the documentary, Lou Holtz, he was all set to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He got in that fight.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, Randy.
One over.
A ton more on him later. All right. I grew up in Arizona, and I went to Arizona State for my college ball. You're plus one, by the way.
Yeah. That's a tough one. 98. No more Haight-Ashbury days, but there might be some residual effects. Nope, got to move on.
Okay. Despite being 6'4" and weighing 268 pounds, I ran a 4.6 40-yard dash and had a 35-inch vertical.
What was the college again? I'm sorry.
Arizona State.
Was it Randall McDaniel? I better lay up.
I made 12 Pro Bowls and was named to the NFL 1990s All-First Team.
Randall McDaniel. Oh, I could have saved a stroke. Yeah, darn it.
You would have got it on this next clue. I was the second most famous Randall on the 98 Vikings. Yeah. What a fucking athlete this guy was. Man. Everyone says how fast. I think he just had a bad 40. What did he run? 4.47, and this dude ran 4.6 at that weight. They have something called an athletic score where they factor in your height and weight.
Yeah.
There's just one word for him, freak.
And
Moss is a freak, too.
Right. And yes, for sure, Moss. And Randall, I'm just drawing a blank.
McDaniel,
yes. One of the nicest, I've never met him personally, but there were so many articles, so many pieces on local media in regards to what a wonderful human being he was.
Oh.
How he supported teachers.
He works as a teacher.
I was just going to say,
longer than he's been a football player. I just listened to a podcast to sort of brush up on the research on this guy.
But he was one of those guys that that could flip that switch, like off the field, nice, big, giant teddy bear. Don't mess with him on the field. And as I mentioned, I have a nephew-in-law that played with him. And anyway, so the guy's great guy, great human being, great football player.
Okay. All right. Where are we at? Was that a birdie? Let's see. 12 Pro Bowls. No, that was a par. All right. You're one over. Let's get it back to even. Here we go. For an Eagle. Born in Santa Barbara, California, and played college ball at a school predominantly known as a basketball school.
Born in Santa Barbara. Basketball school. So this is for Eagle?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Carter popped into my head, but I don't know. Ohio State, really? No, they're more known for football.
How about a birdie?
Okay.
I spent 1996 completely out of football.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about who we've done and who we haven't done.
We've done and who we haven't done.
key player.
Got to keep going.
All right.
Oh, this is a tough little game you got going here.
Oh, this is a tough one. This is a tough clue. I'm currently sixth on the NFL franchise's all-time rushing list. On an NFL franchises. I didn't put the name of the franchise. Let me read that again. Okay. I am currently sixth on a particular franchise's all-time rushing list.
On a particular. Okay. So can the same player be in two different? No. Okay. So it's not Robert Smith. So who is his backup? Was it Chester Taylor? I'm going to go Chester Taylor.
At a stroke, and I was the most famous Randall on the 1998 Vikings. Of course, I'm talking about Randall Cunningham.
Oh, I was thinking running back. Yep. Yeah, I was thinking running back. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, tough.
We'll play again. My ride's here.
You're right.
There's like,
I don't know if you folks can hear the ambulance or the siren in the background, but we both looked and put our wrists out.
So we've introduced a lot of the players on defense. You tell me, Mike, who should we be talking about on defense?
Johnny Randall.
Yes, exactly. It was like a no-name defense bit. I looked at the defense. It was kind of a no-name defense, but they didn't have to do much.
No, we did not. Our offense was, again, the most prolific offense in the history of the NFL at that time. So we had guys like Johnny Randall, I think Dwayne Rudd was a D-back. I'm sorry, he was a linebacker.
No relation to Paul Rudd?
No relation at all, no. I always remember think of Dwayne Rudd because we were kicking the crap out of the Colts. It was the Browns, the other hated team.
Sad
fact. And he takes his helmet off on the field. As you know, that's not acceptable. So we got a 15-yarder or something to that effect, and it negated a play. And I'm like, oh, Dwayne, why did you do that? Anyway, so.
Not as funny as Paul Rudd either.
No, he's certainly not. I wasn't laughing at that time.
Well, 98 was a magical season, and it started in preseason. Because it started in the NFL draft.
Eddie McDaniel, too. Anyway, sorry.
Do you want to talk about Eddie McDaniel for a minute?
No, I was just thinking of all the defensive players that are popping into my head all of a sudden.
Just start naming McDaniels.
Eddie Mack, yeah.
Okay, it started in the draft because we got this guy. Here's a little vengeance in case any Dallas fans are listening. Because last week, of course, was the trade where Dallas sort of mopped up.
Fleeced us.
But they passed on this guy. They drafted – this guy fell to the Vikes at 21 in the first round, and I think Dallas grabbed some guy named Greg Ellis. Yeah, good luck. The Vikes got this guy, and I have some clips. Nobody can – I can't describe this guy like Pat Summerall and John Madden can.
Oh, legend.
So I have a 3-minute clip here. Let's just lean back and enjoy this Vikings game on Thanksgiving versus Dallas.
Woodson is back. Teague is out. Robert Smith is back from Minnesota. And he is throwing it back to Cunningham, the old flea picker. And open is Randy Moss. And in the end zone is a Minnesota touchdown.
Yep, you knew they were going to do it. The fans knew they were going to do it. The Dallas Cowboys knew they were going to do it. You knew they were going to do it early. Where Randall Cunningham just gets that ball, and he just chucks it deep to Randy Moss. That was off a flea flicker on the right side. Kevin Smith was a defender. He takes
Kevin
a little
Smith.
Bite. Here's Kevin
Remember him?
Smith here.
That's what you get,
you're
Kevin.
You see him take a little bite there.
He had no chance if you watched the film.
Too late. And by now, it's too late.
Too late.
Because Randy Moss, with Deion Sanders out, could be the fastest player in the NFL.
Cunningham changing something.
Palmer gives a lot of big plays to this Viking team.
Here's Cunningham back to throw it and going deep, and he's got Moss, and there's a flag on the play, and Moss has caught the pass and is in the end zone anyway. Touchdown. Just throw it as far as you can.
Chuck
this
it,
guy
dog.
Is amazing.
Watch,
Randy Moss is amazing. Listen. Randall Cunningham is amazing. That Randall Cunningham was telling us last week that Moss just tells him, hey, dog, just chunk it in the end zone. And he said he always tells him, just chunk it in the end zone. And that's exactly what he does.
Six defense. That penalty is declined. Result of the play is a touchdown.
That was Kevin Smith. They went to work
Kevin
on
Smith.
Kevin Smith, and he was in there. He got a penalty, and Randy Moss still caught it.
The Vikings have 29 touchdown drives, if you can call them drives, this year of 3 minutes or less.
And this was in November.
Well, this guy is just fun to watch. And Kevin Smith knows that he's in a foot race there and he can't win it. So he grabbed Randy Moss. And that was the only thing that he could do.
It's Cowboys showing blitz. Minnesota. It's Randy Moss breaks a tackle and Randy Moss races down the sideline. And Randy Moss just outruns everybody into the end zone. He is incredible.
Doesn't the crowd sound like they're Vikings fans?
Yes, they do.
Be enjoying some turkey.
Yeah. He better like a turkey leg. I tell you, it's just a short pass out there. Charlie Williams is there, and he misses the tackle. Here's Randy Moss. Here's Charlie Williams. And you're going to see it's just a little three-yard go.
And
Charlie
boom.
Williams is there.
Miss John.
A poor tackle, I do too. Or no tackle. And then when Randy Moss gets here, he just outruns everyone. I mean, he is fun to watch.
Billups.
I mean, they're just full
the
of
angle,
joy.
He had everything.
Yeah, angles and all those things don't mean anything against speed.
No.
Yeah, so there's Randy Moss. That was one game.
Like, one game.
This guy's a rookie.
Yeah.
Just dominating the league.
Yes.
What a draft pick. What a score.
And before we jump into that, do you think that Summerall and Madden were not like the two greatest, greatest tandem in any sport in the history of announcing? I do. I just hear it.
Better than Chick Hearn and Stu Lance?
Well,
I'm kidding. They weren't that good.
Yep.
Chick had his moments. But yeah, that's a tough one to beat. I mean, a lot of people like Tony and Nance. It's not for me.
No.
It's fine. I don't hate Tony. I like him. Nance
is legendary. You know,
Nance is really good at his job, but it's a little saccharine sometimes for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something about Nance, he just, he has a little like, I don't know. Does he walk around like his shit doesn't stink, or is it just me?
Mm. Everybody
just likes him. He lives on Pebble Beach. He has everyone to his friend's house. I mean, he has all the golfers over to his house, and he's friends with this one and that one. Really?
Yeah. You're wondering what kind of skeletons he has in his closet. Right?
I think he's got
too
a couple
squeaky clean.
He's probably got a couple of hookers in his...
It might be like Marv Albert.
Yeah, worse.
Marv
wasn't that bad.
We're getting off topic.
Yeah,
so getting back to the Vikings, yes.
All right, so yeah, that's the introduction to Moss. And I got all my research from one spot, which is very helpful because I had a tough week. And this article is from a guy named Connor Orr out of SI. It's June 27, 2018, and the title of this piece is The Greatest Team to Never Make It, an oral history of the 98 Vikings. 20 years ago, the Vikings caught lightning in a bottle with a reborn QB and a jaw-dropping rookie receiver. Mm-hmm. They piled up points like no other team in history and seemed destined for greatness. The psychic toll of their heartbreak still lingers in Minnesota. Well, that's why we're here.
Yeah. We wouldn't have a podcast without the heartbreak.
All right, so we talked about the draft, right? Yeah. Many people had Dallas as Moss's landing spot. Like I said, they took a guy named Greg Ellis out of North Carolina. Some people thought it was going to be the Tennessee Oilers then. Was it really the Tennessee Oilers? Did they change their...
There was 1 year or 2 years where they didn't...
I didn't remember that.
There was some
transition. No chance of that being a mistake?
Possibly, but I could have swore I remember them keeping that name for a year, but I could be wrong.
Anyway, and in the interest of time, I'll just cut through here. There's a bunch of other picks they list of people that went that could have drafted them, Packers, Patriots, blah, 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 Bengals, but nope, he fell to 21 to the Vikes. Brad Johnson had this to say. I was in Destin, Florida. I've been there before. Have you been to Destin?
I have not. Yeah. No, I've heard it's beautiful.
It's kind of nice. Hanging out with Mark Richt. Remember him? Was he like a tight end who was at Florida State?
Mark Richt.
Was he a tight end? Anyway, it doesn't matter. And we were also with Danny Cannell, that was quarterback. As soon as we drafted him, Danny and Mark went nuts. They said, Brad, you've never seen a guy like this. You cannot throw the ball far enough. You cannot overthrow him.
Wow.
Moss called Carter. Of course, we're talking about Chris Carter. And you know what? I should have put him in the game. The last clue would have been, I look like Godzilla's son. But Chris Carter... if you missed our first episode, look up Godzilla's son and Chris Carter. They're twinsies. Moss called Carter immediately after draft and asked him to train together. Carter said he wouldn't make any exceptions, but would accommodate the rookie if he moved down to Florida and submitted to his routine. And Moss and his agent put an offer on a house later that day. That's taking care of business, Mike.
Wow.
The result was a refined product. I don't know about his diet, but we'll get into that. Maybe you don't need a diet when you're 21 or however old he was. Mm-hmm. Says the result was a refined product that showed up to camp in outstanding shape. Moss's performances that spring and summer became something like the origin scenes in a superhero comic book. Mm-hmm. Brad Johnson says, I got healthy for training camp, and after the third practice, we just said, let's see if we can outthrow him. We just took around five-step drops, launching the ball as far as we could. We couldn't make it happen. He caught everything unless we line-drived it.
Yeah. No,
4.2-something speed. He said, and this is the crazy thing. Randy told me later on, I'm never running full speed unless it's Dion or Daryl Green. Was Daryl Green still in the league then?
I know probably the latter years, but he was still super fast.
Yeah, and yeah. Randy's still like, I need to turn on the afterburners for this 38-year-old.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's pretty amazing in itself.
Yes.
He said, but this is the interesting part. He says, I'm never running full speed. I'm just setting them up. Throw it there and I'll get it. So basically what he did was he ran like 8 out of 10 in all game, and people thought that was it. Mm-hmm. And they thought they had him covered. And then he would just launch the ball.
And see you, bye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mentioned this previously a time or two that I had gone to Lambeau. I was wrong. It's 8 years in a row. And that was my first game.
You need to work on your Gazintas.
Yeah. Gazinta. And it was a Monday night game again. Mm-hmm. Randy Moss, I think he caught 3 TDs. And if you've ever been to Lambeau as an opposing fan, it's quite interesting. And they're great. Most of them are great fans. Anywhere you go, you're going to have bad fans in any stadium, but there's a handful that were, you know, somewhat abusive, but that's what you get for wearing all purple. You know, anyway, I remember how by the end of the third quarter, the stadium had kind of let out, all the Packer fans had gone home. And if you've been to Lambeau, if you've been to Green Bay, when the Packers win, it is just euphoria and it's all green and gold. Mm-hmm. That particular night, I kept going, what is this? I mean, we knew, I mean, this guy was a freak, super freak. And then we just took over the town that night, and it was one heck of an evening.
Eat it, Green Bay.
Yes, yes. We didn't get to say that very often, but in that particular game.
Mike, what can you tell from preseason? Usually nothing.
No, because it was such a vanilla, you know.
But
had no idea what was coming.
No, I mean, like just generally, like what team is it that like hasn't lost a game in 3 years and they're horrible during the regular season? It doesn't matter. Usually you can't really tell much from the preseason, but right. In this case, they won all their games. 129-50 was the totals of the games. And they won their first 7 games by a combined total of 125 points.
125?
The margin, if you add them all up, 7 games. 7-0,
yeah.
The margin is 125.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Divide 125 by 7, and there's your right. average winning margin.
I'm guessing the 8th game was the loss against Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they did lose in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it was just a – and that's another reason, one of the many reasons that year was the most painful, because I'm like, it's finally going to happen. It's finally going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't forget if I – let's just keep going. Let's see what Chris Carter tells a funny anecdote about Randy, his first game. Would you be nervous your first game? Would you be
me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Randy was not. Randy was missing from the pregame meal week one down in Tampa. I found him and I'm like, why didn't you go?
Week one in Tampa? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Week one. They played him. I guess they played him twice.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Back in the day, they. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
They're in the same division back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, twice. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Randy was missing from the pregame meal week one down in Tampa. I found him and I'm like, why didn't you go to the pregame meal? And he was like, I was playing video games. I said, well, there's attendance down there. So now the team thinks you're AWOL. He's like, oh, man. So I ask him, what did you get? Did you get a meal? What are you going to eat before the game? He says, what I'm eating now. He was handing it. He was holding a can of Coke and a box of hot tamale candies. Genetics, ladies and gentlemen, they're important. Moss caught the first game, 4 passes, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns, 31-7.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So
that
yeah.
was down in Tampa? That first game was on the road?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, because I think we lost to them here. But anyway.
That was with Brad Johnson at the helm.
Yeah.
And I forgot who said it, but somebody in this article I read said that he had even a better connection from what they saw with Randy. Although Randall had a stronger arm. Mm-hmm. It just didn't matter. They were just having tons of success offensively. And I read in here, Brian Billick was the OC.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it – we stopped watching film. It was a waste of time. Here's my theory from a, and I, God, I shouldn't even, my theory is like, yeah, of course, because I also read that people were still thinking Randall was going to run. So they spied him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then they had to have three people covering Carter and Moss. Right.
Yeah. We had Jake Reed.
Too. So there's an advantage, right? There's anyway, there's just going to be an advantage. I mean, when you, if you have two people on Moss, one person spying Randall, now you're playing 9 against 8. They just were crushing everyone. Didn't matter what kind of defense they played, blah, blah, blah. Week two, Brad Johnson breaks his ankle. And then a man who was out of football a couple years prior came in and did a fucking great job, Randall Cunningham.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But did you, was your faith high? I mean, he's out of football. He changed his game quite a bit.
He did.
Yeah.
And he was number 7. I think he took the number 7, and I just tall, skinny, lanky.
Yeah, tall. Cool. He got to stand in the pocket. He could ad lib a little bit, they said.
His windup seemed really long.
Yeah, I remember that part. We talked about that the other day.
Yeah, yep. But no, I had no idea. I had no idea any of this was going to transpire, and it did.
Okay. Let's see. I think this is. Okay, so this is Randall about how he got to Minnesota. He said, I was going to sign with New Orleans Saints. But Keith Johnson, the Vikings chaplain at the time, said, you're Randall Cunningham, right? And he said, yeah. He says, what are you doing working out? I thought you were retired. I said, I'm coming back. He said, talk to Denny. So I flew to Minnesota and they offered me a contract.
Yeah.
So he went 259 for 425, threw for 3,700 yards, threw 34 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Nice little signing. From a retired guy.
Yeah, that was what, 14 games? Because he only,
yeah.
The first two were Brad.
Okay. And then Brad Johnson came back and hurt his thumb. So anyway, it just wasn't Brad's year. But
no.
Billick says he comes in and I can tell he's not really on top of it just yet. Then once he becomes a starter, he transforms his focus and everything. He knew he never had to force the ball. Someone was going to get open, like we were talking about earlier. He was so focused on being a pocket quarterback, proving everyone wrong. He actually wouldn't run the ball. Choppy sentence there. Teams were spying him, waiting for him to take off, and he never did. So there you go. You got another advantage, right?
Yes.
Take one defensive player just to worry about the quarterback, and that's going to open up some space.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, that coupled with, you know, the weapons he had and then this rookie that had a chip on his shoulder, I might add, especially against Dallas, because I think he was a huge Dallas fan and they passed up on him. And so that Thanksgiving game did not surprise me because he was PO'd at the Cowboys.
The article gives a lot of credit to Dennis Green for his Dennis Green seems like an X's and O's guy and a culture guy, because he says perhaps the greatest credit to Green was his ability to wrangle so many different personalities. This Vikings team was a stew of cliques waiting to be formed, a locker room full of young, cocky superstars, strong-willed offensive linemen, born-again Christians, and degenerate gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
Green, according to some players, was the pioneer of using Tuesday's off day to do charity work in the community, which is now a common staple in the NFL. So nice job, Denny.
Mm-hmm.
He was quick to laugh at himself, to put others at ease, and he was masterly at blending different cultures together. Important piece.
Very much so. And I really liked when Denny took over in 92, I think it was, and he said that there's a new sheriff in town.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. I just, you know, kind of cheesy, but I'm like, boy, I hope you're right, because we had a little bit of a drought, and this is no offense to Jerry Burns, but
yeah.
I love Denny.
Well, to be fair to Jer, they did make that trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Empty cupboard.
Robert Griffith, Viking safety. Denny almost made it mandatory that every guy get out in the community. We and I want to make sure you write this in capital letters, please, as a personal quote, because there's not a lot of acknowledgement that goes out to Denny Green, man. Denny Green is NFL's Community Tuesday. Is the NFL's Community Tuesday. He started it. He did. I was there. If you were at home on Tuesday, you were reaching out you were reaching out on Tuesday and doing something, going to the hospital, visiting a sick kid, or speaking at an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that Denny was kind of the, because now, as you said earlier, now all the NFL teams do some type of charitable deal on Tuesdays, and some of the players create foundations and do a lot of stuff on Tuesdays. So that's kudos to you, Denny.
If I was a sick kid in the hospital, I'd be like, do the we are who they thought they were thing live. That'd be fun.
That's what I'd be most known for, unfortunately, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, here's that Packers game. 37-24.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Cunningham threw for a career best 442 and four touchdowns. Moss had five catches for 190 yards.
How many TDs? Three?
Is Tom Brady good? Well, if I had a strong arm, it seems like I could have thrown a bunch of touchdown passes to Moss. Of course, Brady's good.
Yeah.
It's just like that season. Like,
oh, it was just crazy.
God, what a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have, I don't know. I don't think we have any analogs that are that athletic, that fast, that tall, that smart is the underrated thing. I think Moss is pretty sharp.
Yeah.
And good at the catch point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what he's best. He's the fastest guy who's the best at the catch point. Good luck, NFL.
Mm-hmm.
that game that we listened to, Carter and Moss had 10 catches for 298 and four touchdowns versus Dallas on Thanksgiving. What do you have to be thankful for, Mike?
Well, that day in particular, I know there was some vindication for Mr. Moss because that was against the Cowboys, and he was very angry, I think, for years after that he was overlooked by.
I don't want to make him angry.
No, 20 other teams, but the one that he grew up idolizing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm doubly pissed off right now. And every time I play you, I'm going to make you pay. And he did.
So the Vikings, we're not going to go, as we never do, go into the season game by game, but they did finish with only one loss. They set an NFL record at the time. It's been broken since at 556 for points. Mm-hmm. They were the number one seed. Mm-hmm. And almost everyone was expecting Super Bowl.
Yeah. We had our, of course, the number one seed bye.
And then yep.
I'm going to go off of memory here. We crushed the Cardinals.
Yes, you did.
Who was the second game? I think it was the Saints? Ugh.
There is no second game. Bye.
Oh, bye. And then championship. You are absolutely right. Yeah. So we rolled the Cardinals.
Yeah. They were decent team too, 14-2. And if it was here in at the Metrodome in front of 64,060 people.
Yeah.
And midway through the second quarter, they were winning 17-7. What were you? Do you remember that you had? Well, take it away, Mike. Like, tell your story. Like,
well, here's my story. Yeah. Yes, we're rolling seven. They had Chris Chandler as their QB. He must have been 87 years old at the time. And God rest his soul. I'm kidding. I don't even know if he's dead or not. But Chris Chandler. And they had, who was the Dirty Bird, the running back?
Jamal Anderson.
And anyway, yeah. So we're up 17-7, as you say. I'm in the basement of my home. I've got my three children. I have not only a personal, love for the Vikings, but this particular year, I had a stake
in the game.
Yeah, because I'm running the largest and probably most interesting and unique catering venue in the state of Minnesota, possibly the five-state area, right? We could do
possibly the world.
I'm just going to throw that in for theatrical purposes. We could house an event of 30,000-40,000 people at IMS easily. So yeah. I come up with this great idea. I'm going to create the largest, most unique, coolest Super Bowl party in the history of Minnesota. So I did. And I shelled out probably $35,000, $40,000 pre-Super Bowl. You had to, right? I mean, you have to plan accordingly. Plan accordingly. I brought Mick Sterling. I think he's still around. Paul Allen and Jeff Dubay. They were called PA and Dubay. If you guys listening, you know who PA is. He is the voice of the Vikes since 2002.
Paul Allen.
Yeah, Paul Allen.
We hear him every time we do a show.
Absolutely. They were up and coming. They had a great morning show called PA and Dubay. I became, I wouldn't say great friends with them, but good friends with them. They used to call me the gangster on air. And so they were going to be our hosts for the event. We had to spend money on KFAN and some other pre-Super Bowl investments that took place. So watching that game. I am personally invested and I am professionally invested. And I can't remember how many minutes were left in the game. They're up 17-7. Strip sack of Randall Cunningham. The Dirty Birds score a touchdown, make it 17-14, right? And that's bad enough because you can kind of see the momentum changing. I'm getting a little owly in my basement, in my little man cave in St. Michael, Minnesota. Shout out to the Knights. We get the ball back with some time left. I don't remember exactly how much time. I'm guessing you've done the research and you do.
Mm.
What does Denny do with the most prolific offense in the history of the NFL? Takes a knee. And that's when I go ballistic.
Mm. You knew at halftime you were in trouble because they were playing not to lose?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, I get it. Strip sack. We're a little gun
rattled,
shy.
Rattled, yeah.
Little gun shy. But you've got Moss, you've got Carter, you've got Jake Reed, and I can't remember who the tight end was at that particular time, but you take a effing knee. I think it was like 50-something seconds left. Mm. At least go get a field goal. At that point, I started punching my couch. Then I get up and I start
cursing.
Shouldn't
punch inanimate objects.
No, you really shouldn't. Then I start swearing in Italian.
I'd like to hear some of that.
Start taking up after my father. My
doesn't fall too far from the tree.
And so I remember Tamara picking up the kids, scooping little Vinny up at the age of one, saying, and she looked at me and said, I think I'll go to my mother's for the rest of the game. And I said, good idea.
Mm.
And they said nothing else.
That actually was a good idea.
Yes.
Her.
Yes. So I don't know if you have some other things you want to
say.
Yeah. So
let's see. Oh, we were talking about the uncharacteristic mistakes, which must have drove you nuts too, because here they are. Tell me. Randy Moss dropped a touchdown pass with little more than 3 minutes to go in the half.
Yes. Remember that? Which
resulting in a field goal rather than a touchdown.
Yep.
Okay. The Cunningham strip by Chuck Smith. Wasn't Chuck Smith that was the eventual coach of the comeback. Who coached when the Patriots came back on the Falcons years later? Wasn't Chuck Smith the coach?
Oh, no. I know who you're talking about, but I don't
know. No, it was the guy who coaches Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or maybe he was, anyway.
He was a deep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he was the head coach. Defensive coordinator for Dallas a couple years ago.
Yep.
And last year. Anyway, we're getting into the weeds. So Cunningham stripped by Chuck Smith, deepened Vikings territory with a minute to go in the half. Minnesota's first lost fumble in more than 11 games. Led to a touchdown by Terrence Mathis. Now the score is 20-14. In the second half, it was more of the same. Dropped interceptions, stalled drives, untimely runs out of bounds, and mounting injuries.
Was that Robert Smith who ran out of bounds?
It didn't get into specifics.
Yeah, it was. I can tell you. end round to the left, number 26. I'm like, just fall down. Fall down. And he runs out of bounds.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah.
Michael's lore, game was defined by just one play. Yeah. To most people, the game is defined by one play. And, of course, we're talking about Gary Anderson's 39-yard field goal with 2:10 left in the fourth quarter. And the Vikes up 7. That'd put them up 10, and there's no 10-point play. There's no 10-point.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
It was Anderson's first miss of the year, having completed just the second perfect regular season for an NFL.
It's like 35 for 35 or something like that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
39's not long.
No.
Robert Smith says there was never any panic. As a matter of fact, I remember going on the field as an offense before the drive where Gary missed the kick. It was 27-20 at the point, and we knew if we got some points, the game would be over. I remember it was just this incredible sense of calm and togetherness and confidence. Maybe you should have been a little activated there, a little bit in fight or flight, because I don't think it was their fault. Let me finish the quote. It was spontaneous. I've talked about this 100 times, but it still gives me the chills. On that drive, everyone on the offensive held hands for the first time. It was just like it said, we're together. Let's do this. It was never something we had done before, but we held hands on that drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't put it in here, but Billick asked Denny if he wanted to go for it. And he's like, just get us field goal. Like, I think I didn't watch it, but were the last few games just like runs to set up a field goal instead of being aggressive. And, you can't blame him. The guy's perfect. It's 39 yards. No. You win the game.
No, there's
a fumble can happen if you pass the ball. I mean, we know what can happen. And then he gets roasted.
Yeah.
Denny Green would get roasted if they fumbled or if Randall had a tip pass at the line. He got, you know, it's just
absolutely.
It's one of those things. It's just Minnesota.
No, there's kind of a
And
joke.
I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Gary Anderson probably knows the history.
Yeah,
he's carrying all that weight. It's my unifying field theory of Minnesota.
I know. He's not even. I think he's a South African soccer guy, isn't he? Anyway, potentially. And then there's the theory of superstar Mike Morris. And those of you who are listening that listen to KFan know who he is. He was a very well known long snapper, and that snap was a tad high, but not high enough to throw Gary's timing off.
Yeah.
But they give Mike Morris a lot of grief.
Do they?
In jest. He used to have a morning show on KFan, and they tease him about that quite a bit. I just think it can, you know, the curse continues, and there were so many self-inflicted wounds.
This is a tough one because this season came out of nowhere. You got Moss, you're cruising, you're rolling people, you got a bye, rolled the Cardinals, and then this happens. Brad Johnson says, like, I don't even know if Gary even missed in practice. That's how good he was. Mm-hmm. I think someone got loose on the left end, and they almost blocked it. He tried to slice it in there. But he took responsibility. He was a man about it, and you know, those things happen.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, that would have put the game
ended up
out
losing
of
in overtime. Oh, God.
Yeah, Morton Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, his brother.
Of Morton Steakhouse.
Morton Salt, I was thinking.
Well,
anyway,
okay.
Because I was pretty salty after the game.
And you should have been.
Yeah.
And you weren't the only one, because listen to this. So they get in the locker room, and they put the congratulations banner up in the locker room. Oh. So it said, NFC champion. It was as empty, this is from Robert Smith, as empty a feeling as I've ever experienced going into a locker room. This overwhelming sadness, grown men crying. It was brutal, and Denny was the only one who talked. And I remember the reporters coming in, and people didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, so they knew I was crying, huh? Or were there other grown men crying?
I think they're just talking about you there.
yep.
Who's Todd Stussy? I should have put it.
He was a lineman.
Okay. I went up sitting around my house in Minnesota for a few days, not knowing what to do with myself. I thought, I got to get out of here. Stop listening to local radio. Those guys, that's a bad idea. Don't listen to roll.
Yeah, they anyway, were shredding too.
Jumped in his Tahoe and drove to California. I've done that drive. You could have done other things. There's better things to keep. Anyway, I round around like hour four. There's nothing to look at.
Right.
I just need to get away from it all. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, everyone realized the missed opportunity.
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal.
Billick says, I'm not sure the city had ever rebounded from it.
No.
That wasn't the, let's be fair, that's not your first rodeo.
Nope.
That one's heartbreaking.
The worst and most painful.
And it cost you money.
Cost me money, and thankfully the three guys that owned the building, two of them were from New Mexico and one was a local guy, and they said, Mike, we can't fault you for this. We thought that was a sound gamble, sound risk. And so.
Yeah, everyone knew who the better team was.
Yeah.
And certainly the coach for the eventual super winning team did, Tim Connolly. I think he was, the GM? There was a reception at the Super Bowl 2 weeks later in Miami. We went to the commissioner's party, and inside was Mike Shanahan. He was coaching the Broncos in the Super Bowl. Mm. We were in the same line or something, and he looks at me and just rolls his eyes like, oof, we dodged a bullet. He was being nice, a gentleman, but I felt the same way.
Yeah.
You couldn't say it, but he was nice enough to say it. Roll his eyes and give me a look. I'm glad we're not playing you guys. That kind of look. I still don't know if he actually said that or if he's getting all that from a look, but
yeah,
there it is.
Who was that quote from?
Tim Connolly.
Tim Connolly. Okay, I don't know.
We could look him up real quick.
Yeah, I think Tim Connolly, isn't he the GM of the Timberwolves right now? Or is it a different Tim Connolly? Yeah, that name doesn't ring a bell at all, but certainly not surprising because I don't know everybody in the front office. But yeah.
Well, you were plus two on the trivia game, so maybe you're not the best person to.
This is my first bad week, man.
Senior executive. It wasn't that bad of a week. I made it hard on purpose. All right.
Well,
that's it. Do you have anything else to say?
I do. So this is kind of the ending of the story at International Market Square and the alleged Super Bowl party that I thought I was going to be a legend in Minnesota. You know, years later,
Mike, you are a legend, just not for that reason.
Not for that reason, yeah. My kids and my children's children would go, yeah, Grandpa Mike put the largest Super Bowl party in the history of Minnesota together. And we had, you know, I was expecting 5,000 to 10,000 people. We had all the tickets printed. We had 191 attendees. And I know that for a fact because it's etched upon my mind. Half of them were comped. So needless to say, we took a bath. Every news outlet came to town. And back then it was, you know, the four basic, you know, Fox, Care 11, Channel 4, Channel 5. And they wanted to do a piece. I said, if you keep it tactful and not, you know,
not a hatchet job.
Exactly. And they all agreed to. And I know that you don't, you know, journalistic integrity is kind of an oxymoron.
Not on those kind of shows.
Yeah. So, and they did. Then one of the TV stations actually said, why don't you get your attendees to kind of pool together?
Smoke and mirrors.
Behind you, and we'll make it look a little busier than it is. Because if you know about IMS, it's a giant multi-floored venue. So 191 people looks like you and I sitting where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, they did. It was a nice piece, nice pieces. They did not shred me. And but I still wallowed for, I'm still wallowing now, you know, but for a couple of years, it was just like until we got to 2000 when we went to the championship game again.
This is a deep wound here.
Yeah, it is indeed. And that our next podcast, I'm guessing, will be on the 2000 season. But yeah, so that was a tough one. Physically, mentally, professionally, personally, any Lee you can add.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens in 2000. I mean, I know how it ends, but all right. Yes. Well, sorry, Mike. This one was particularly, I like the, I don't know. There's just something very like Kevin Costner, Bull Durham about Randall coming back and putting it all together. And I mean, he would be, he sort of a legend. He would be an app. There would be a statue.
Yeah.
If he, you know, let's say he throws 400 yards and four touchdowns in the Super Bowl, maybe not a statue, but he wouldn't have to buy, you wouldn't have to buy his, what casserole? Ole Hansen's?
Tuna fish casserole?
Yeah, he'd get free those hot dish for the rest of his life, Randall. But
yeah,
it wasn't meant to be. Okay, I'm very excited for Cuddy's Corner, music time. This is a band that, well, I want to introduce him with a clip. Do you remember the Craig Kilborn show, Mike?
I do, okay. Yeah. He's one of us.
Yep, he is. They were on the Craig Kilborn show, and I just have a little clip of the intro here.
Thrasher magazine called the next guest the best live band in the solar system, making the television debut performing I'm Not Invisible from their new CD Live from Camp X-Ray. Please welcome Rocket from the Crypt.
Oh, this is your band.
Listen to this.
The shoot from the waist up.
Oh, I wanna go. Yeah, not gonna play the whole song. The part where he's like shoot from the waist up. Right. Do you know what that's in reference to? I'm
guessing he was doing some stuff below the waist that he.
Well, it's just it's his ode to Elvis in rock and roll.
Okay,
it's his little like dog whistle coded message.
Yeah,
because they would not let the camera people film because Elvis was doing things that parents had not seen before.
Yeah,
and Rocket was tributing him by saying, "Hey, shoot me from the waist up." You know, John Reese is the lead singer of Rocket. I don't think he quite has the moves that Elvis had, but he's playing homage to them. And that motherfucker commands a stage. Oh. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
You had a chance to see them.
I know. And I had a little car trouble. Yeah.
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 For whatever reason, they came to Minnesota for the first time in 10 years. I felt like it was just for me, and I was a kid again. Even though I know them a little bit, I didn't bother to try to talk to them or anything. I just got up right up front like a fan and blew my ears out.
Saw your video, yeah.
It was really a shot in the arm. Thank you so much, Rocket from the Crypt. And what's the brewing company that
Surly
Brewing threw that about this time last year. I think it was October,
yeah,
actually.
But my car troubles is just another reason.
You literally gave me a ride to
give you a ride with the car troubles.
It was very Minnesota Vikings of you to get to the finish line and then
and then fall short.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm coming up with this unifying theme of with this, you know, Minnesota Nice and everything. Okay, so here's a little bit about Rocket. First of all, they're my absolute favorite band. They're the best live band I've ever seen. You know, there's so many stories about this band. They're not a very popular band. I'm guessing almost everyone other than my friends, because I won't shut up about them, don't know about Rocket from the Crypt. But the bands that you do like do know about them, and they like them.
Mm-hmm.
When they played the Warped Tour, remember the Vans Warped Tour that would go around every year? It's a big festival type thing. There would be literally more bands watching from the side of the stage than there would be fans out front. What does that tell you? Well, yeah, it sucks for Rocket because they're not making a ton of money, but guess what they are making or earning? Just tons of respect. I mean, when I worked, I won't get too much into it, but I did work for a record company that put out Rocket's 2000 record Group Sounds. I got to meet them and I got to really understand what Rocket was all about. And I got to talk to other bands about Rocket, very popular bands that I've heard them say, no, Rocket will not open for us. We will always open for Rocket. This is one of the more respected punk rock bands. What do they sound like? Well, punk rock. Yeah. I don't know if it's rock and roll influenced punk or punk influenced rock and roll, but it's something in that genre. People say Stooges meets James Brown. The thing about Rocket is they have that unlikely combination of being pretty damn catchy and very unique. You know what I mean? That's a hard combination if you think about it.
I'll have to dig into them. I've been kind of getting into Shuttle from the Grave myself, but... All right, bad joke. Well, I'm out of jokes now. But anyway, no, you've
Shuttle from the, instead of Rocket from the Crypt. Boy, I had to do some mathematics on that joke.
Anyway, no, you've exposed me to them. I just have to do a little.
We're
going to
listen right now. Let's see. All right, let me share some stories just why this guy is a legend. Okay, the lead singer is John Reese. I named my American Bulldog shout out and RIP to Reese after this man, John Reese. Here's why. I'm working at Vagrant Records. I'm an intern. I hear that Rocket's coming up to visit from San Diego to the LA offices. The owners are getting a little nervous. I kind of don't understand why. And he's just one of those guys, you know, he's one of those guys that lives up to the hype. He doesn't seem human. Everything he says is the wittiest thing you've ever heard. He shows up. I'll never forget this. There's a car coming through the alley. It looks like a cop car. What does he drive? One of those fake cop cars. He's got mirrored glasses on. He's got a San Diego hat on. He comes and hangs out. At some point, we go to the corner store. We walk less than a couple hundred yards. And this is back in the day. This is like early 2000. This is like 99, 2000, when pot was a big deal. Like, you didn't smoke pot just willy-nilly. So I'm walking across the street.
Willie did.
Yeah, and he's the example of why you shouldn't. Everybody knows what happened to willy-nilly. So we're walking across the street to go get some refreshments. And it's me, my friend Ryan, John Cohen, one of the owners, and John Reese, the lead singer of Rocket. And I smell pot, and I go, geez, someone's smoking pot. And without missing a beat, he goes, do you want a hit? Oh. He's smoking it. Like, the guy's just cool. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we had the opportunity to, me and my friend Ryan Quigley, the gentleman, Ryan Q, went to Vegas with this band just to show support from the label. You know, it wasn't that far of a drive. So we drive out there. It was like the best Vegas trip ever. Here's what happened. They played. It was great, of course. Then we went to the casino. I went to the casino with the bass player, Pete, and he decides to put their whole guarantee on black. I mean, they're just doing cool rock star, even though they're not rock stars, cool, like, rock and roll shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he pumps, like, I think it was like $1,000 on black. They weren't making a ton. And we were with the tour bus driver, which, if you know anything about tour bus drivers, they are just truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against our truck drivers, but they don't seem like the luckiest bunch. So when the truck driver or the tour bus driver said, hey, Pete, if you're going black, I feel good about it. I'm going to go black right $100 right on top of you. And I said, Pete, that guy's a truck driver. How lucky do you think he is? And he goes, to the truck driver. Pete goes, I think we're going to go by ourselves on this one. He doesn't let them touch the money. And of course they won. And then the whole band took me to this place called the Peppermill Grill. And in the back, they have the Fireside Lounge. And you walk back there, the front part of it, it's on the strip. I recommend anybody that goes to Vegas, go eat the Peppermill Grill, go get a drink at the Fireside Lounge. It's on the strip. Just look it up. Yeah, so they take us there. You walk to the back lounge, and it's like you just step into the 70s. Velvet couches. They have this little fireplace jacuzzi thing going, right? Had a great time. Then we went back to the tour bus, and my friend quickly smoked John Reese under the table, which was funny because, pot smoked him under the table. Mm. But the thing about the story with the Fireside Grill is I was watching Casino, the movie Casino. Mm-hmm. There's Robert De Niro and Sharon Stone having a drink. They go on one of their dates to the Fireside. Top 10 favorite movie, favorite band. Show me the same place. I go there every time I go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I love these guys. They're the best live band in the world. And, I they've inspired me so much. They get me out of bed.
This comes down a little bit.
Yeah. Mike, let me ask you a question. Do you know how to do the jerk?
No.
You better learn.
All right.
All right. We're going to do 2000 next week. Thank you for listening. Get off your ass and dance.
And remember, misery loves company.
We'll see you next week. Thank you.
See
Rocket
ya.
From the Crypt.
Ooh. Yeah. I think so. Now
getting as many comments on Facebook than I normally do. Like, oh, cool, I was listening.
Was last week even good? I can't remember. I thought it was
the Herschel. It may have been the topic.